The views and opinions expressed on the Ron Van Dam Show are solely those of Ron Van Dam and do not reflect the views and opinions of anyone who has not spent the past three decades making a living bitching and whining into a microphone. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
I'm bitching and whining.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird. If you like that sort of thing.
Yes, I'm making a living bitching and whining. I tried just bitching. I didn't make that much money. Then I tried whining, not a good idea, not successful financially. But then bitching and whining, I'm sitting pretty. Well, welcome to the program. I am Ron Van Dam. If I were in a police lineup, I'd be the one all the way on the left, just saying. How are you? Don't answer. It's not that kind of thing. It's a one-way deal here. You just sit there and listen, and I will entertain you like a monkey with an organ grinder. Which one are you? Listen, I'm bitching and whining already. It's unbelievable. All right. That's enough. We get it. You have a theme song. We get it. Okay, enough with that. Thank you so much. This is a wonderful day. Actually, it sucks, but it depends. You know, it's all you. It's all you. You can be bombarded by all these strange people all day and things not going right. But if your attitude is good, you see, then it's the perception. It's all perception. It's how you handle things. It's not what comes at you. It's how you handle the things that come at you. I've said this many times on the show before to the point where I can't stand hearing it anymore myself, but my father was not exactly any kind of guy coming down from a mountain throwing all this wisdom upon the planet. It wasn't that kind of guy. But every once in a while, he would say something that didn't make sense at the time that as I got older really makes sense. And that was one of the things he said is life is a series of speed bumps. And it's not the fact that the speed bumps are coming up all the time. It's how you handle them. It's how you get over them. And I thought, wow, for a guy that just sat all day and watched golf on television and then fell asleep, that was pretty heavy. There you go. I don't know. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? Did your daddy say all these wisdomatic things? I made that word up. There's no such thing. Was your mother some sort of a soothsayer? I don't know. We have to get our background from somewhere. You know what I mean? You know, there's plenty of people on TV that'll charge you money to sit down and listen to a lecture on how you can be a better person. But somehow, some of the few little wisdom spots that parents threw down on their kids, they don't soak in until you're older. They just don't. When you're younger, you're just like, hey, shut up. I'm an adult now. I can take care of myself. You say this like at 14 years old. And no one's going to tell you what to do except for your peers and your friends. They can put you into a cult. But your parents, anything they say, you're old people. You don't know what you're talking about. And then you get a little older too. And you start realizing, wow, they were imparting wisdom upon me. They were trying to shield me and take care of me and give me advice. But I didn't know that at the time. Oh my God, I abused my parents. Usually it's the other way around, right? Where your parents abuse you. hey, mow the lawn. No, I'm not going to. Now you're going to mow the lawn, huh? But no, the abuse, the mental abuse was on the other side. It's the kids that mentally abuse their parents. And don't think that the parents don't get hurt from that. When their kids tell them to F you, your own kid tells you to F off. That hurts. That hurts. That's like a stab through the heart. You don't realize you did that to them until you get older. Of course, not you. You were the perfect child. Okay. I get it. Yeah, not in your family. Yeah, okay. But yeah, the mental abuse was the child upon the parent. The child screaming and crying all night. That was abusive. Keeping your parents up all night because you had a little gas. Come on, cut it out. Yeah, it's abusive. Anyway, thanks for being here. I have a special guest today. Let me tell you, he's a guy that you probably don't know, but he was somewhat influential in my life. When I was younger, because I got into television and radio eventually in my lifetime, professionally, and, you know, you're influenced by people who are doing that already. I was brought up in the New York area when I was a child, lived in New Jersey. Not proud of that, but I say it out loud now. It's like coming out as to where you had your childhood. I was born in New York City in a hospital, which is pretty much where a lot of people are born. And then my parents moved out to New Jersey. They bought their first house. We had a little house there in New Jersey, in Teaneck, New Jersey. But all of our media came from New York City. All the radio shows, all the television shows. And only those who lived in New York City may remember this gentleman as being an icon in local television. Local in New York City, that's 8 million people. how local that really is, that's a large audience. Guy's name is Bill Boggs. He was a talk show host. And he hosted a lot of morning and afternoon shows, and he did iconic things. He kind of was one of the first people to interview celebrities and, you know, important people, but on a level of like intimacy, way before Oprah, way before Oprah. His name is Bill Boggs, and he's written his memoirs. In the sense of a, in a different way, let's say. So I had the opportunity about a week ago to interview him, and I told him how much he had really influenced where I went in my life, and you know, it was nice. It was a kumbaya kind of experience, and we'll play that for you today. You probably don't know the name. I know you have the Google machines. You know, those machines that are like, what do they call them, computers now? The pocket computer, they call them cell phones, but you can hardly make a call on them or hear the other person speaking. They're really like pocket computers is what they are. Let's call them what they are. They're pocket computers. And you can Google things on it. You don't have to go to the library anymore. You can do it from your bed. The first time that being an invalid in your own home in bed is like still productive. It's just, who knew? You don't have to go to the library anymore. You just Google things and it's right there right away. And if you're really lazy, get one of those Alexa things and have a woman tell you what's going on. It's pretty cool. Anyway, so Google Bill Boggs, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So that's happening today on the program. And I hope that you enjoy, as I always hope you enjoy. I wish the best for you. I really do. Even though I don't know you and don't care to, I wish the best for you. If there's a lot of happy people walking around, life is better in general for everybody. If people are walking around acting like assholes and disgruntled idiots, that doesn't make life too pleasant, you know? Then your atmosphere is like mud. But if there's a lot of happy people walking around and they smile at you and stuff, I've used this example on a show. Sorry, I wiped my nose. I have allergies. I'm sorry. Excuse me. I have allergies. Excuse me. It's like you don't. I'll never forget this story. I was living in New York City when I started my radio and television career thing. And well, New York City is just the best place to live if you want to get stimulated to be an entrepreneur or a really like meaningful person. New York City is like just, it just washes so much creativity on your face, you can't help it. It's wonderful. I remember walking down the street one day. I was about 21 years old, probably, walking down the street. Don't remember why. And I was just feeling okay, you know. It's like, okay. You know, there's millions and millions of people around you in New York City, but you can still feel very, very lonely. It's interesting how that can be. So I'm walking down the street, and coming toward me on the sidewalk is this very attractive young lady, very attractive. And I just underline that by saying she was very attractive. She was just dressed perfectly and looked just wonderful and just a young lady. She was perhaps a bit older than I at the time. I really don't know. You know, it's not a carnival where you guess their weight or their age. I mean, but she looked really good. And I'm walking forward, and she's coming in the other direction. And I glance up at her because she was very attractive. And she glanced up at me as she's walking by, and she smiled at me. That's all she did. She just smiled. And then kept walking, and I kept walking, two ships passing in the night, smiling at each other and making each other feel recognized and feeling good about themselves. There was a smile connection. But for a split second, we had a little smile relationship for what amounted to no more than 2-3 seconds. But the rest of my day was just wonderful. For just that reason, there was a connection between two strangers, just a smile in passing. But I could tell we were both like, just soaked that up. And that's what it is. It's as simple as that. These days, sometimes we don't have much to smile about. But it doesn't stop us from making other people feel good just with a kind word, a thank you, opening a door for somebody, that kind of thing. Whether you're a man opening up a door for a woman or a woman opening a door for a man, doesn't matter. It's not a sexist thing. It's just someone doing something for somebody else in a split second that has that meaning. I respect you as a human being. How are you? Good to see you. Bye-bye now. Nice stuff. Nice stuff. And that's the kind of thing that you can make happen anytime you want, anytime during the day, at any location. The simple smile of recognition. And then you move on. Not a bad deal. If you can pull it off, give it a shot. All right, we're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Bill Boggs will be joining us. If you don't really know who he is, I think you will after this interview coming up momentarily. But before we do that, do you need a handyman around the house? Me too, me too.
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked. while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me, naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked, I do the work naked, you pay me while I'm naked. Bob Zandi around the house, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Emmy Award winner Bill Boggs joins us now. He's got quite an incredible book, which is the second in a series of incredible books. And Bill is joining us to talk about his career and this book that's come out. Pleasure speaking to you, Bill.
Well, thank you very much, Ron, and appreciate the kind words. I'm ready. I'm ready to answer all questions. This is going to be
all right.
The best press conference I've ever had. So
okay.
Fire away, Ron.
All right. I'll start with a question. What is the meaning of life, Bill? No, wait a minute. Wait, that's not for you. That's a little too deep to begin with. Let's start with the book and then we'll go backwards.
Okay. Yes. Good.
Spike Unleashed is a sequel to The Adventures of Spike the Wonder Dog. Where did the Spike series come from?
It came basically when my last television show went off the air. It was on PBS called My Generation.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of had the feeling as I was hitting the big 7-0 that there wasn't a high demand for me. I've been chasing work all my life. Mm-hmm. I've had 15 different television shows.
Yeah.
You were kind of mentioned the Emmys. And I thought, you know, I've always been a writer since a childhood. And I began my career in comedy as a comedy writer. So I had this idea loosely based on my life. And the idea was this. I had a talk show before I went to New York to do Midday Live,
right,
called Southern Exposure, and it was syndicated in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And on that show, I had an English Bull Terrier, like the target dog, who was called Spike the Wonder Dog.
Mm-hmm.
And people loved him. He got twice as much fan mail as I ever got. Anyway, and before I came to New York, Ron, he got killed by a drunk driver. It was horrible. But anyway, the idea was, what if Spike hadn't gotten killed, and in today's world, came to New York with a talk show host master like me,
mm-hmm,
and became a huge television star and social media star, but was looking at human beings from a different perspective, like sort of like E.T., not of the human world. And I wanted to find a way to write satire, to send up our society, our celebrity worship of celebrity,
yes,
culture, just everything.
Yes.
And as soon as I started writing, the voice of the dog who narrates the story,
uh-huh,
the premise, the conceit is the dog has told me the story and I'm writing it for him. That's why the books are,
wow,
like Spike Unleashed has told the Bill Box. So the thing ends up, basically, one of the persons said, this could be called Game of Bones. Spike is he's ensnared in a devious revenge plot, and basically Spike has this absurdist humor. He has he's looking at life the way an observational comedian looks at life. There's a cast of wacky characters. He's constantly dealing with his social commentary and shrewd grievances on the way people are behaving. And
yeah,
there's a lot of crazy inventions in the book. The book is purely designed to make you laugh. This is R-rated comedy.
Fine.
But Spike Unleashed is not a children's book.
Yeah.
It's more in the like Family Guy, for at least like that.
Yeah. And you talk about some celebrities who become, I wouldn't say targets, but certainly subjects of Spike's interest.
Oh, well, a lot of people appear as himself in the book. The book starts down. The book goes into four locales.
Mm-hmm.
First is High Point, North Carolina, where I lived and I had my TV show.
Right.
It then moves up to Manhattan. It goes down to Palm Beach and then out to East Hampton, Long Island. In Palm Beach, Spike auditions and makes a movie called Florida Man.
Uh-huh.
You know, every day, all you have to do, anybody listening now, is type in your own birthday date, like, say, June 16th, mm-hmm. Florida man. And up will come a story on that date of some crazy person in Florida. Like, Florida man gets skywriter to draw a giant penis in the sky. That actually happened, right? So the movie is called Florida Man. And he's working with Tim Allen, Jim Carrey, Kate McKinnon, yeah. and Lucy Arnaz. But the funny thing, Prince Harry is playing a heavily tattooed Florida man.
Of course.
Who ends up kidnapping the dog. And the reason Prince Harry's in this movie is he has a special deal with Netflix that once a year he can appear in a movie, but it has to be against type. It can't be like, wow. you know, a royal family guy. And his wife says, oh, let's go to Palm Beach. I can shop while you're making the movie. A lot of celebrities. Anderson Cooper's in the book. Bill Maher is in the book. One of the Kardashians is in the book. There's about 50 celebrities. Because it's set in the world that I know, the world of show business. And it tells everything in the book that happens on television, despite has happened to me.
Wow. So it sounds like your comedy writing exploded into a book.
Yeah. Well, the first book was very well received.
Yeah.
The Avengers, even though it came out, it was released at a good time, Ron. Mm-hmm. May 23rd, 2020, at the height of the pandemic, you'd have to like break into a bookstore to get a copy, except the copies never went out because the whole offices were closed.
Yeah.
So we're hoping for a few more sales with Spike Unleashed this time around. Yeah.
It's fascinating because of the concept. It's different. And let's go back a little bit in your career because you introduced celebrities, you interviewed celebrities all through your life as talk show hosts, Midday Live, Saturday Morning Live.
Yeah.
I was around a time when I lived in the New York area, WNEW Channel 5 that people may not be familiar with was a huge market. And Bill exploded onto that station. And took them into all different levels. It was a very creative time in local television.
It was, Ron. Mm. Yes, it was. Well, that was a time before all the morning talk shows when major celebrities were doing local TV.
Yep.
I mean, these can be sort of forgotten names now, but geez, I had Jerry Lewis on the program, Sammy Davis Jr. Tony Curtis, Sean Connery, that's four in 1 year. Frank Sinatra did the show with me, the longest interview of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And Midday Live was syndicated and had a pretty wide reach. And then the other celebrity interview show I did, and this is the biggest scam of my life, Bob. Mm-hmm. I was on the Food Network, and they wanted to do something that was not a straight cooking show.
Right.
So I came up with this idea, Bill Box Corner Table. We will interview celebrities in their favorite restaurants, see the food, meet the chef, and the chef will do a demo in the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
So look at it this way. I got the Food Network to pay me really good money to go to the best restaurants in America, sit down with big-name celebrities, eat for free, and be on television.
That was my scam.
They paid me that month just to feel a rent.
That's a scam.
Did three shows on the Food Network. TV Diners was a show with Nina Griscom.
That was the first
national restaurant review show in America. That was the first year of the Food Network.
Mm-hmm.
My show came along, Bill Box Corner Table, the year after that. I also hosted something called Let's Eat, which was on at 11 o'clock at night live for the Food Network for a while.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good time of my career. The Food Network, and I was on for almost 10 years. But you know what happened, Ron?
Yeah.
10 years in, 8-9 years in, they got rid of all of the original people because they just wanted younger people. And there was no question. But and you just have to accept it as a fact that there's amazing, really an age bias on television. At one point, they said to me, I think it was 46 years old, do you think you would consider dyeing your hair because I had a tiny little bit of gray, we're talking like 8 gray hairs coming in one side. And another time they asked how about a facelift?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, you know, really, that's just the way it is. That's the business.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's a concept of making money, and they think that the target is the younger people. Little do they realize that the major population of the country is not younger people right now. So,
well, yeah. Here you go. How about this? The year was 1998, so yeah. We're going back quite a bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
I had booked Michael Caine, a considerable actor.
Right.
To do an interview with me in his restaurant in London. And we could afford it. It was in the budget. They turned down Michael Caine in 1998 because they thought he was too old.
Really?
And he won the Academy Award that same year. God. I mean, that was a terrific example of age bias. And I said to them, why do you think somebody who's 25 or 30 years old won't be interested in watching this man?
Yes.
They've been watching movies all their life.
I see him on the screen. Sure.
Yeah. Anyway, crazy. But the Food Network, I don't want to put them down. I'm just telling you facts. It's just like in the book, Spike Unleashed. I take stuff like that and I kind of send it up as satire.
Good.
So I can use one of the reviews of the book, I just quickly say this, was Mike Reiss, one of the original creators of The Simpsons. And he read Spike Unleashed as a reviewer. And he said, Bill Boggs must have spent a lifetime in entertainment to craft this amazingly funny book. So hip. Yeah.
Well, it does give you the ability to do that where most cannot, because you've been in so many different facets of producing and hosting and writing. My God, it's been all over the place. A very fruitful career, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. Ron, that's kind of you. Thank you.
Yeah, let me ask you, as a comedy writer,
you
know, more than comedy, I think you were just incredibly innovative. You took something and you put a twist on it that people hadn't used before, and I think that was part of your success.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, with the book, for example, the dog has been called by critics the funniest dog ever to appear in fiction.
Yeah.
That alone makes me really happy.
Wow.
You know, when I started my career, I was managing a comedy team. We all were working in straight jobs. We hated them, and we quit, went into show business, and the guys' names were Tom Patch and Jay Tarsus, both alive still. And they were part of a team like Nichols and May, Rowan and Martin. This is, we're dealing with like the late 60s, 1960s, when comedy teams were flourishing. Anyway, I worked with them as their manager, as a producer, and I did some writing with them. And then I split to be on television myself to work behind the scenes and to get myself on television. And they went on to write for Bob Newhart and Mary Tyler Moore and the Muppet movies. And write Alf. Wow. I really learned a lot from them. And what I decided early on, Ron, just defy category in your career.
Yeah.
Don't get stuck with one thing. If you want to do something, have the guts to try it, because that's the only way you're going to get anywhere. Like, don't be afraid to fail. Don't be afraid to fail.
Yeah. There's an old story that somebody told me. If you go to the mall and you approach women, and don't do this, by the way, and you approach women and say, hey, will you go out on a date with me? You know, totally cold like that. 50 women will turn you down. Two or three will actually accept it.
Well, they could. Listen. The answer is always no until you ask.
Yes, right.
Right?
And then it's still always no. But anyway, yeah. You know, your book reads like a screenplay, to be honest with you. Have you thought about turning this into a motion picture of sorts?
I think about it
every day. Right. Okay.
Every single day. Yeah, what we're trying to do is we have an agency. I don't want to mention names. A major agency that is representing the product, representing both books, 600 pages of original comedy content as a potential streaming cartoon series, but we've been held up by the writer's strike.
Yeah.
Nobody's selling anything now.
True. Right?
Everybody I know who's got a product is just sitting around twiddling their thumbs and going on vacation because the writer's strike has everything.
Yeah.
But what is the word kibosh? Whatever kibosh means, they can put the kibosh on things.
Yeah. I'm just picturing the dog situation with the actual celebrities making cameos throughout the picture, and I think that'd be incredible.
Thank you.
Yeah.
As some substance. Yes, Ron.
Yeah. Well, the first thing to do is to get the book. There's no question about that. And just walk into this world of amazing comedy and a lot of fun.
I like to tell people, I guarantee you're going to laugh out loud. Every single person has read the book, and it's feedback from strangers who get in touch with me. Uh-huh. By the way, I'm at Real Bill Boggs on Instagram. Real Bill Boggs. Spike Unleashed, The Wonder Dog Returns. You can get it Amazon, anywhere you would order a book. Wonderful. Yes.
Do you have a website as well where people can follow you?
I recommend that people go to YouTube, uh-huh. Bill Boggs TV YouTube.
Okay.
There's 500 clips of my interviews with various people there. And my website is BillBoggs.com. So you got Bill Boggs TV, BillBoggs.com, uh-huh. and on Instagram at Real Bill Boggs.
Very cool.
There's also a Spike the Wonder Dog thing, but I've given you enough information.
There's a lot there, Bill.
I think I've gone on too long. Are there any concluding questions here?
I think we covered it, but we know where to find you to ask the questions. I assume people can ask you questions all the time. Spike Unleashed, The Adventures of Spike the Wonder Dog. Pick them up. It's a good time. It's a fun ride. Bill, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Resting on your career of success and innovation, you're
thank
great.
You.
You take
thank
care.
Thank you very much.
Take
thank
care,
you,
Bill.
Ron. I'm around when you need me.
I got gotcha.
You. Talking to you.
I'll talk
thank
to you.
You.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That'll do it for me today. Thank you to Bill Boggs, and thank you to you for being here. Guess what? Hey, guess. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. I know. Will you join me then? Well, that's nice of you. Thank you. A little smile in your direction. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I wish you peace.